And if you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 78, the 78th Psalm, so Bill's testimony was an introduction and an overview of really what I'm going to say, but I'll go into a little bit more detail here. Psalm 78. Let's read the first 24 verses of that responsively. And you may remain seated. I'll start and then we'll do each verse alternately thereafter. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth.
I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old,
which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us.
We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done.
For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children.
That the generation to come might know him, even the children which should be born, who should rise and declare them to their children.
That they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments.
And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God.
The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle.
They kept not the covenant of God, and refused to walk in his law,
and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them.
Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan.
He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as an heap.
In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with the light of fire.
He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths.
He brought streams also out of the rock, and caused waters to run down like rivers.
And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness.
And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lusts.
Yea, they spoke against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel.
Because they believed not in God, and trusted not in his salvation.
Though he had commanded the clouds from above, and opened the doors from heaven.
And had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven.
Father God, thank you for your word. You said in 1 Corinthians 10 that these things of old were ordained as a warning for us, and so that we would not make the same mistakes. And we thank you that every word of God is being breathed by the Spirit and is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, so that the godly person may be fully equipped for everything you've called us to. So we pray now, God, that by the power of your Spirit, that you would write this upon our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we were praying and praising God on Tuesday morning, I felt like I needed a psalm to praise the Lord through, and God got me to this. So that was good. That was encouraging. And then at the same time, I had this quote running through my head that I actually found in Matthew Henry's commentary when I was studying another passage another day. And I'll read this to you. It doesn't seem to be related right now, but I'll show how they come together. Matthew Henry said, "Most of our frets, as well as our frights, are owing to the power of imagination. And those are to be pitied as perfect bond slaves that are under the power of such a tyrant." I don't want to be that person, do you? I don't want to be a bond slave to the tyrant of my own imagination. How about you? The Word of God says, as Simone will confirm, that fretting, it leads only to evil. It's kind of getting worked up about something that might happen, but could possibly not happen at all. But the reason why you're worked up about it is because if it does happen, who's it going to affect? Usually you, even if it affects someone else first, you're fretting over the fact that you love that person. You don't want that to happen to them, right? And how it'll therefore, it's usually coming out of, well, we sang it together. A love that conquers all fear. It says perfect love casts out fear. So as I was praising the Lord on Tuesday morning, I'm just going to go ahead and be honest and transparent, okay? Don't be shocked. You probably won't be, because you probably had similar experiences. And I'm trusting Jesus to be the man that he wants me to be. But I got some tomato plants in my backyard. And some of you are aware that, owing to the path that I feel I need to take to facilitate my body's healing and so on, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I don't eat or enjoy that your average Joe on the street does, and that your average Joe on the street looks forward to. And you wouldn't know how much you look forward to those things unless they weren't in your life. So I got some tomato plants. I like tomatoes, okay? I also got some little boys who like playing baseball. I'm glad you think that's funny. And when I read this quote in Matthew Henry, I was like, God, that's me. Right there. It's evil and it's selfish. To fret over something that might happen because it's going to destroy something that I was looking forward to, or something that I thought, if I can just get a nice, ripe, juicy, homegrown tomato, not like those chunks of plastic that they sell you in the store for $2 or $4 a pound, I'll be happy. I'll have something to look forward to for once in my life, in the culinary world, that is. I've got other things to look forward to, of course. But I was fretting over that, you see. That's selfish, isn't it? That's not right. So I really appreciated Matthew Henry's just one sentence. But he got me to Psalm 78. So that was buzzing around in the back of my head. Psalm 78, verse 11 says, "And they forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them." It's so easy when we look at the Bible and say, "Oh, those Pharisees, boy, those Pharisees. I'm glad I'm not like those Pharisees." I mean, sometimes, really, the picture that's painted of the Pharisees is so polarized. Actually, in our humanity, we have a hard time believing that we could ever be like that. And in a sense, there's a certain validity to it, because we know that we have the Spirit of God. So we should have a little bit of a head start on that game than what they had. Right? But we're not totally immune to, I mean, they were human just like we are human. There's a certain part of our constitution that never changed. We have the Spirit of God now. We have a new heart, so we have a lot of the solution to the problem, but it doesn't mean to say we can fall into the same traps. In fact, what did that Pharisee say? It's kind of funny to be judgmental against a bunch of people that were judgmental, isn't it? Which is what we're doing when we say, I can never be like that person, like those Pharisees. What did the Pharisee say when he was there at the temple with the publican? Yeah, and then what did he say? I this, I that, I the next thing. I. The Pharisee was deceived because of what they did. There was part of their eye on their works. Now, even though us in the new life, we can say, bless God, I attribute my works in a sense to the Spirit of God because he was the one that saved me, but I'm a pretty dutiful, diligent Christian. I'm glad I'm not like this guy. I this, I that. I do my devotions every day. I go to prayer meeting. I go out and witness on the streets. I go to work days. I whatever, you know. And that's not to say those things aren't good and that we shouldn't be doing those things, of course. But I mean, the greater point that I'm making here is the fact that when we look at the Bible and we look at the negative examples in the Bible, there's part of us that has trouble admitting that we could ever be susceptible to that. Like Israel, the children of Israel. I mean, obviously, they had not the Spirit of God. And that they exhibited various carnal traits over the course of the history of Israel, reported in the Word of God, that we're like, I don't even want to go there. I'm thankful I've got the Spirit of God. But, and this is obviously one of them, that they were complaining. They forgot. They forgot. They lusted after something they weren't given when they were given manna. I'm really glad I'd never go there. Is there anyone in this room who has ever eaten the same thing for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for one day? Like they call it a mono meal, when your meal consists of one thing. Like, for example, beans. Or, for example, you might have had some kind of medical situation, you had to do that or something. There might be some people here who have done it for a day. But even if it's a steak, or maybe it's just beans, or maybe it's just bread, or maybe it's just bananas, but you only eat one thing, a complete meal consisting of only one food type, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Is that starting to get a little bit old by dinner time? I'll say so. How about the next day when you have to do it 2 days in a row?
6 weeks.
6 weeks. And sometimes if we get into digestive issues and stuff, we need to somehow do something like that. Or if we're trying to figure out a food allergy, you know, there's times when we have to do that. I don't know how long they... Well, 40 years, didn't they? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. 40 years? But I would never be wanting anything else if God gave me manna. I'd be fully satisfied with that, and I could never be like these children of Israel. I think you'd be having some thoughts after, what, Ruth, a day? 2 days?
Yeah.
2 days. Starts out as a thought, you know, it would be nice just to have something. I'm sure thankful for this manna. I know it's a miracle, but it wouldn't hurt just to have a little bit of ketchup with it. Some kind of dip. It starts out as a thought. It starts out as a desire. That's all it is. It wouldn't harm. But then as we dwell on that, and if we don't guard our hearts, that desire creeps in and becomes bigger and bigger and bigger till actually when there can be other pressures laid upon us simultaneously. Like, okay, I can live with the manna, okay? But then it's the children, then it's the work situation, then it's a relationship at church. And the layers go on and on and on. And that lasts for a while. And then you're like, okay, God, it's getting a little bit uncomfortable here. Couldn't you have just given us something other than manna? I mean, it's already a miracle. If you were going to do this by a miracle, why don't you just miraculously give us something else while you're at it? Can you not just give me a break? And as you think about it, it suddenly becomes more possible to be in the same place as the children of Israel. But the funny thing was that, I mean, they went through the sea one day. They saw the sea parted. And then, you know, they were in the desert and they went a couple of days without food. And it was just a couple of days ago. It was just the other day that they saw. How could they possibly forget so quickly? Sure, thankful we could never do that. Sure, thankful I could never do that. Or could I? Because, as Bill said in his testimony, the Word of God says the day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. I mean, past tense is past tense. There's something surreal about anything that happened in the past, right? In fact, you can start questioning things that happened in the past and wonder if they really did happen or not. Whether it was yesterday afternoon, a week ago, a month ago, or 10 years ago, it all seems to have a certain degree of surrealness about it. But when you think about it, God says a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like a day. I mean, really? Just the other day? That's why I said that. That's the phrase God gave me. Just the other day. Bill's daughter was delivered from seizures through the grace of God. Just the other day. Pastor Schultz has been saved for more than 50 years. Just the other day. Jesus saved this guy. Just the other day. How could you forget that? How could you forget that the Word of God says, one was that those, you know, the Word of God has a lot to say about the lost state. Quite a lot when you start looking for it. And that's part of my 12 sermon curriculum that I'm going to be offering as evangelistic messages. But it says the lost state is blind. Just the other day, you were blind. If you're sitting in this room today and you are well saved by the Spirit of God with the full assurance of eternal salvation, you can see. God says, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God, but you can see it now, whereas once you were blind, just the other day, you received spiritual sight. Just the other day, it was impossible for you to please God. Because it says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Just the other day, your best right living, the Word of God says, was as filthy rags. But today, you can see. Today, you can do right things that are right in the eyes of God. Today, you can please God. Just the other day, you had a hard heart. And it says that, but God miraculously, just the other day, miraculously gave you a heart of flesh, a stony heart. That was actually able to obey God now. Just the other day.
Hallelujah.
Just the other day. Fill in the blank. I'm talking about salvation. Just the other day, many of us has led us to jobs. We didn't know what we were going to do to provide for our families. And we know that just the other day, God answered our prayers, Brett, to get us to exactly the right job we need for a family, right? Just the other day. But we can never forget that. Just the other day. And as I looked at this and as I thought of this phrase, like I was just back there in that courtroom praising God. And this phrase came into my mind, just the other day. And then a picture came into my mind. And this may have been an experience of your life. It may not. I don't know. God works with us all differently. I had a picture of a point on a road. Jerry's had this experience. He's testified to it before. I had a picture of a place on a road in Scotland where I was driving my little four-cylinder stick shift. Coming up on a blind hill. And I thought, I know I can make this. I can make this. I can get on this two-lane road. I can pass this guy and get back in before I reach the top of the hill. I know I can't see what's over that hill, but I can get in and out before I get to the top of the hill. And I'll be just fine. I was in my stick shift, you know. And you get ready for your gear change and your stick shift. And when you're raised in that, you just know how to do that. It's never going to be a mistake. And I was ready for this. Super. And somehow I missed the gear change. I missed it. And I kind of ground. I don't know what I did. Because when you're raised in a standard vehicle, you know how to do that. You do it with your eyes closed, with both hands. And I missed the gear change. So therefore, when you miss that, you don't have any drive going in the engine. My car started to coast. And I wasn't passing the guy anymore. I was like, oh no, I can't, I better pull back in behind him. Pull back in behind him. Car came over the hill and went buzzing past on the other side. Hallelujah. I honestly can't remember the chronology of it now. Whether I can't remember if that was before or after I got saved. But I know one thing, that just the other day, God saved me from either being a paraplegic or not being standing here right now. True. Just the other day. I mean, when I was back there on Tuesday morning prayer meeting, I believe that phrase came to my head and I saw that picture on the road. I wasn't even trying to think of it. Sometimes you get the feeling that God's kind of like this. True. That was in all of us. Some of us have experienced deliverances from bodily hurt. Some of us wonder if God was protecting us, but then again we think, I wonder what might have happened. I wonder what didn't happen. Sometimes God does allow us to get hurt, but then we're never sure how much worse it could have been. Just the other day. And here's me, grumbling at God because of a few bodily trials. That's a confession, by the way, okay? I ask God to forgive me. You ever get mad at God before? Yeah, Christian people get mad at God. I'm not saying, like, by God's grace, I love Jesus. So I just don't envisage me ever getting mad enough at him to stop following him because I love Jesus. But, let's see. What's going on with this, God? Well, just the other day, Nikki, you know, you want to know why? Well, just the other day, you could have been sitting here in a wheelchair right now if I'd quite wanted it, just the other day. How about that? How does that compare to what you've got now? Just the other day.
Help us, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think this is a quotation here. I don't know how I cut and pasted it in my notes. I don't know what verse this is. He brought streams out of the rock and caused water to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. They tempted God in their hearts by asking meat for their lust. True. And the ESV has that as the food they desired. And I'm like, what about those tomato plants? I'm like, I can't believe this, God, you're nailing me. Yet they spake against God, and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, and the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? So I found out. I better be careful, because I can be an Israelite like this. I had forgotten his works. I wanted a juicy tomato. When by God's grace, I could be content with green bread for the rest of my life, right? Yes, with God's help. If we have God, he can help us to be content with green bread for the rest of my life. I said, God, with your help, I could live on lettuce for the rest of my life. Twice a day. I don't know how I'd make it, but I know God could help me.
True.
And it says here in Psalm 78, verse 16. Okay, no, wait a minute. Maybe down to verse 21 there. Because last time I checked, God doesn't change. So if Israel's complaints anger God, then Nikki's complaints anger God. And I might as well say this, verse 21, therefore the Lord heard Nikki, and he was wroth. So fire was kindled against Nikki, and anger also came up against Nikki. Because Nikki believed not in God, and trusted not in his salvation, though he had commanded a gear stick to go in the wrong direction, and saved his soul, and brought him a wife, and brought him into the ministry and the purposes of his life. And all I could say is, oh God, please forgive me. And he's good. He forgave me. So that's good. And I get to walk with him. And I get to move on. But I'm sure thankful for the Word of God. He can remind us. It's such a deception, isn't it?
True.
Because if it's not happening to us right now, in our humanity, it's hard to remember what God has really given us and what he's done for us in the course of our lives. Especially when things can be challenging. Father God, we thank you. for all the things you did for us just yesterday. Probably for all the things you've done for us today, if we knew the half of it. But at minimum, we know as you've put your spirit within us to bear witness to the fact that you have saved us from hell. You have saved us from an eternity of torment. And what more do you need? But you've done so much more than that. You've helped us with our practical concerns. You've helped us. You've gotten us to answers. You've led us to the right people. And you're still doing that, and you'll continue to do that in your faithfulness till the day we're done here. So God, please help us in our hearts, God, never to say, I could never be like that Pharisee, I could never be like that Israelite, because we could, but it's possible also not to be like your grace, by your grace. It's possible not to be. And even when we have failed, and I'm confessing publicly that I have, we're thankful for your forgiveness. And we trust with your help that you'll teach us so we don't have to repent again, that maybe we will have to. But we're trusting you that we won't, and that we won't forget everything you've done for us just the other day. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.